Okay. Fifth perek, Perakei Tzimabrin. As if you just remember, it's always good to remember the where the prakim were in Sechel Ervin for Zikaron. First perek was that Beis. We remember that. Second perek was that Yizayin Beis. That was the second perek of Osin Pasin, where you spoke. That was that perek was about. The third perek was Hakol Maharvin. That was on Daf Chaf. That we had a daf mem alef mabeis misho siuhu. That was all about eri tchumin, going out of your tchum, go in your tchum. That was what the last parak was about, the fourth parak. And the fifth parak now is going to be about kesed ma'abrim. Kesed ma'abrim, let's get started. The first two blot are agadata. So we have a little break from regular hilchas eruvin today and tomorrow, and then we'll get back to eruvin. Kesed ma'abrim, first the Mishnah though is maseches eruvin. Kesed ma'abrim es arim. Says the Mishnah, how are you ma'aber? How do you impregnate cities? What does that mean? Know that there is a halacha that we've mentioned many times of tchum. You measure 2,000 amos outside the city. If you're somewhere in the middle of nowhere, you measure 2,000 amos, as we just saw last week, outside of your 4 amos. But what about outside the city? So you measure from outside the city. The question is, what if the outside of the city is not even? There's a house a little bit out. There's a house 200 feet beyond the other houses. How do you measure the city? So this Mishnah is going to tell us, you go by the farthest point, as long as it's within 70 2/3 amos. That's halacha. As long as any house on the border is within 70 2/3 amos of the city, so then you'd be able to include that in the city. And as we will see, you will draw a circle of 2,000 amos again outside that area. How do you figure it out? We'll see in a second. Kesem Aber Nesaharim. So how do you Ma'aber, how do you impregnate the city, meaning make it large, and therefore you measure the tchum from outside of that area. Bayis nichnas, bayis yotze, let's say you have a house that is a little bit in, nichnas, inside, let's say the wall, and a little bit outside the wall, pagum nichnas, pagum yotze, or you have a pagum, a broken down house that is a little bit in, a little bit out. Hayisham gedudios kvos asar tvachim, or you have a gedud, Rashi here explains, a gedud is a churva. A churva is an abandoned building, abandoned house that's half broken down, that also is allowed to count for within the tchum. So all of these things, or v'gisharim v'nefashos sheyishbohen beis dira, or gisharim, bridges, u'nefashos, these are guard boots, guard houses that you have at a cemetery. That's nefashos, where nefashos are. Sheishlahem behen beis dira, that have a guard booth, a place to live there. Motzi en es hamida kenegdan. Your motzi, you take out the measurement from beyond them. If you have the picture book, you know, there are a couple of pictures here, that anywhere outside, if there's a house that's jutting out, outside out of the others, if part of the wall is jutting out, if part of the houses are jutting out, you always measure it from outside that house or that jutting out. How do you measure it? You find that point that juts out, and you pretend that there is a straight line going down at that point, and you make straight lines all around the city so you have a perfect square or rectangle. That is how, as we've seen in the last parak, va'osin, last line, osakim in tavla murubas, kadeshi in diskar sazavios. And you make it as a tavla murubas, a square or a rectangle with right angles, so that you are niskar zavios, that the corners are also included in your tchum. As we said in the last parak, you don't draw a circle of a radius, with a radius of 2,000 amos, but you draw a circle, but then you're going to circumscribe it with a square around it. So that's how, if you have any point that's jutting out of the city, again, as long as it is within, if it's touching the city, mamas, then of course, then you go draw the square or the line right outside that those things that are sticking out. But even if it's beyond, right outside the city, as long as it's within 70 2/3 amos, so then also that's counted. Those are some examples of the nefashos in the picture 189, if you see it. So then that is also, the tchum is counted from outside those items. Okay, so that is the halacha of the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel. So chad tani ma'abrin v'chad tani ma'abrin. It says in the Mishnah, Kesen Ma'abrin Esa'arim. So some say it with an ayin, some say it with an aleph. Rav and Shmuel. So Ma'atani Ma'abrin. Why does one have a misar of aleph, one with ayin? Ma'atani Ma'abrin. One who says ma'abrin aver aver, because that's meant to reflect that if you have, as if there's a limb sticking out of each, it's sticking out of the city, just like limbs stick out of our body, and aver is a limb, aver min hachai is a limb from a live animal. So aver aver means as if there's a limb sticking out, and you're going to measure from the outside of those avarim. That's kesen ma'abrin with an aleph. Oman atoni ma'abrin, and the one who says ma'abrin, like argir, so with an ayin, ke'isha ubra, like a pregnant woman, and we are going to impregnate the city by including something that is what is outside. And I saw that somebody explained that just like a pregnant woman, the baby is really a different goof, but it's inside of her and is counted as her while it's inside, uber yerech imahu. So too, even if something's outside the city, it's not really part of the city, but still we would include it inside the city. One. So now that we brought one machlokos between Rav and Shmuel about language, we're going to bring three other machlokos between Rav and Shmuel about language. And it's one of those dafyomi coincidences. Yesterday's parsha. Ma'aras ha-machpelah. Rashi quotes this yesterday. Ma'aras ha-machpelah. Why is it called literally a double cave? Rav Shmuel, Chad Amar Shnei Batim Zelef Nemizu. One opinion says that Ma'aras ha-machpelah was one room within another room. Zelef Nemizu. V'chad Amar Bayis Va'ali Al-Gabav. And the other, Manda Amar, holds, no, it was really two levels. It was a bias, it was a lower level, and Ali Al-Gabab, and the other room was on top of it. But that's the Machpelah, the double. It was either a double room, one inside the other, or one on top of another. Rashi quotes this yesterday. I understand when it's one on top of another, that would be called Machpelah. That's double. El Lamand Amar Shnei Batim Zelif Nimizeh. My Machpelah. But according to the Manda Amar, according to the opinion that says one room within another one, is that double? Double can be one on top of another. So how is that Machpelah? Shekfula Bezugos. No, another version of why Machpelah doubled. It's doubled with pairs. Right, we know there were the four pairs that were buried in Ma'aras Machpelah, as the Gemara is about to say. And those four pairs, that's what's alluded to in Machpelah. We'll get back to this Shakla Matari in a second. Let's just finish. Mamre Kiryas Arba. Amr Bieschak Kiryas Arba Zugos. What is it's the place of the four pairs. Adam v'chava, Avram v'sara, Yitzchak v'rivka, Yaakov v'leah. Remember the klayaka that I said yesterday, Shalal Shudis? Those of you on the web, you can look it up, the klayaka on this parsha, beginning of Chayesara. Why dafka did it say that Sarah was buried in Mamre in Kiryas Arba, and it leaves out the other two names. I'm sorry, there it says Kiryas Arba hi Chevron. It leaves out the names of Mamre and Eshkol. Klayaka says there were four names of this place. Sometimes it mentions the others. That's the klayaka about the four names here. If you look at the issue of the Ramban on yesterday's parsha, after Rashi, he quotes these two opinions based on the Gemara, and the Ramban says, I don't think either of them are pshat. He says, because it says, if you look in the Pasuk, earlier it says, Sadeh al pnei b'makom machpelah. The Lashon is, look at the Pasuk, says the Ramban, in Perachav Gimel, Pasuk Tes, actually the Ramban here just is Deloka Chazal. He says, V'yitin li es ha-ma'aras v'achpelah ashelo asher b'ksei sadeyu. So on that Pasuk, the Ramban quotes Rashi, Lashon Rashi bayis vali al gabab davar achra shekfula bezugos veinon nachon, because the pasuk says later on stay Ephron asher b'machpelah, stay Ephron asher b'machpelah, which makes it sound like machpelah is the name of a place. So the Rabban says the pashas is that it's neither of these pratim. So again, you have to say both of these, at least according to the Rabban, are giving drash. One, two is the Ben Yehoyada just is bothered by. We're gonna have a couple of Ben Yehoyadas today, as we'll see. The Ben Ishchai, his commentary is in his Agadah, his Pirush on the Agadas. Says what was the Gemara's question? I understand Machpelah if it's one on top of another, but one within inside another, so I don't understand why is that Machpelah. So why not? What's the difference if it's one on top of another and one behind another? So we just take the Gemara's question. Okay, we understand. What's the Gemara's question? If it's a double room, why shouldn't it be called Machpelah, whether it's one on top of another and one behind another? So says the Ben Yehoyada, just the Ha'ara, he says, he thinks the Kasha is Bizman Hazeh, the Gemara is saying. Bishlama, one on top of another, that's so unusual. So that's why we would call it Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the double Ma'ara, because where else do you find caves, one on top of another one? Within one cave, you have two levels. But to have one room inside another room, so there were so many caves like that. He quotes by Shaul HaMelech and by Rabbi Akiva. He says, look all over Eretz Yisrael. There are caves all over with one room inside another room. So we call it, this is the double cave. There are 1,000 double caves. That's the kasha of the Gemara. Bishlam, I understand why we call it Ma'aras HaMachpelah according to the first shot. But why do we call it Ma'aras HaMachpelah according to the Zulaf Nimizu? So that's the answer of Nechpelah Bezugo. So you're right. So according to the Amanda Amr, why do we call it Machpelah? Because of the added element, obviously the unique element, of the Zugos, the pairs that are buried there. Okay, that is one hara of the Ben Yoyada. That's in Pshat, I'm reading the Gemara. You gotta give Pshat about what the Gemara means. There's one other hara that I happened to see yesterday. So I'm like, wow, I saw this Varta, I said the Gemara, the Shemana Tov, Rabbi Weinberger, by Bernard Weinberger, he writes at the beginning of Chayasara. He says, what's the, just a B or a Pidrash? The Ramban already says this machlokas is drash. So I guess this is drash or gabi drash. He says, what's the bir hamachlokas between these two opinions? So he says, the man damar bais va'aliyah hainu ikar hishtablus ha'adam lish'of l'shamaymiyus v'ruchmiyus l'malami agashmiyus. It says, l'mazu l'malamizu. What does this symbolize? It means you always have to be striving up, and the ruchmiyus is on top of the gashmiyus. You got to take the gashmiyus and jump and always get to the ruchmiyus. That's how he interprets Bayez Va'aliyah. The Idach, and you can, and the other opinion says, no. The Ikerhu his amis chitsonius uprimius. Zuvimizu. The Etocho Kabaro. The ultimate goal in life is not Dafka, how the first Shita formulated it, but that your Toch, your inside has to be exactly like your outside. You have to make sure your Panemius is like your chitsonius. When people see you, you're emistic. And that's the chitsonius and the Panemius. That's the Bayez inside and the Bayez outside. So, either way, those are the two Pshatim of the Shemana Tov. Which represented, he just had the two levels. The bottom level would be the Gashmias, the upper level would be the Ruchnias. Who's in which level? Doesn't say. He doesn't explain. Okay, so that is all the second machlokas about language between Rav and Shmuel. Number three. Vayehi bimei Amraphel. Said a couple weeks ago, it's Parsha. In the days of Amraphel, by the story of the four kings and the five kings, Rav and Shmuel. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Chad Amar Nimrod Shmo. One opinion is that really Nimrod was the name given to him at birth. V'lama Nikra Shmo Amraphel. And that's why you find another place in the Torah, which was mentioned in a second. He's called Nimrod also in the Torah. Earlier in the Torah, he's called Nimrod. But here he's called Amraphel. Rashi quotes who Nimrod. Right, so why is he called Amraphel, though? That wasn't his real, that was a nickname. Why? She'amar v'hipil la'avram avinu b'tol kivshon ha'esh. Because he was mapil, he caused Avram Avinu to fall into the kivshon ha'esh. That's why he's called Amraphel. That's why he was called Amraphel, though his real name was Nimrod. V'chad amar Amraphel shmo. And the other opinion said, no, really Amraphel was his real name. V'lam ha'nikra shmo Nimrod. So why was he nicknamed Nimrod? She'himrid es kol ha'olam kulo b'malchuso. Because he was morid, he caused rebellion of the whole world against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the machlokas. What was his real name? Nimrod, or was it Amraphel? A couple of important, interesting points on this Gemara. First of all, Bali Musar pointed out, what's the quintessence of machlokas here? It could be, was he punished for his Bein Adam LaMakom, or was he punished for his Bein Adam LaChavero? Right? Was he called, right? Was his real name Nimrod, and therefore he was called Amraphel because he threw Avram Avinu? So the problem was what he did to Avram Avinu? Or the other halach is that, the other opinion is that, no, he's called, his name is Amraphel, and he was punished because he was more of the world against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They Bein Adam LaMakom. Right, what is HaKadosh Baruch Hu more upset about? Bein Adam LaMakom or Bein Adam LaChavero? What did he take up the task for? Right, the Meshech Chachma writes in Parshas B'Shalach that maybe it might even be a difference between a Tzibur and a Yachid. A Yachid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares more about the Bein Adam LaMakom, while a Tzibur, where the Gemara says that in the days of Achav, you know, they had tremendous Achdus with each other, and even though they were against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still had patience, because when it comes to a Tzibur, he punishes more Bein Adam LaChavero. Anyway, that's the Machlokas here. What was the ultimate cause of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishing him? Oh, the Ben Yoyada again here asks, L'may Nafkamina? This machlokas. Okay, I'm Raphael Nimrod. My nafkamina. And first of all, he just notes that why didn't the Gemara darshan the earlier pasuk? The earlier pasuk says Nimrod. Nimrod keyword side. So why do we darshan vayimim I'm Raphael? So he's quoted the earlier pasuk. So he says. Point number one is that really it must be that the according to the man Amar Nimrod Shmo, if the old Nimrod was his name, you couldn't darshan on the earlier pasuk because the earlier pasuk is pshat. The second pasuk, which says I'm Raphael, what are you talking about? I'm Raphael. His name was Nimrod, so that's why he says it must be that Rav is that one, and that's the one who's the Gemara is explaining first. That's why Dash is on I'm Raphael. Fine, but then he says I think there's an nafkamina between these two shitas, and maybe it's even a machlokas Rashi Unkelus. He says where is it? So he said nafkamina im Amar Echad al Chaveiro Zek Nimrod. So you go over to your friend and you say to him, this guy's like Nimrod. So are you insulting him or not? And do you have to pay for the insult? So, Luman da Amar Nimrod Shem Haleda. If you say Nimrod was the name they're giving him at birth, you're not saying anything wrong. You say, this is like Nimrod. Nimrod is his name. Right? Ain't it Bizayun? Veda Yachal Tavo Bedin. Kiyoma Kavanasilo Marshu Gibor Ken Nimrod. He was born, he was an altar, he's an unbelievable Gibor. That's what I meant to say. He's that Ken Nimrod. So that's the man da Amar that says Nimrod was his name, because Amraphel's really the insult. He says, Avala Nomar Amraphel Shem Haleda. But if you say Amraphel was his real name and Nimrod was his nickname, then oh, look what he did to Hashem. And then he called him Nimrod Al Otsim Rish Aso, then Al Chash Bizayun, but Masha Amar Zekin Nimrod. That would be a Bizayun, you'd be able to take him to court for that because of the insult. And then he says, Machlokes, Rashi, Ukulis. Where? On that pasuk. On that pasuk alab, where it quotes Nimrod. It says in Parshas Noach, it says, Hu haya gibor tzai lefnei Hashem, alkein de amar ken Nimrod gibor tzai lefnei Hashem. Rashi there quotes, alkein yamar, al kol ardam marshia ba'azos panim. On anybody who is a Rasha with brazenness, yodea ribonu miskavin Nimrod bo, and he knows Hashem and he's miskavin to rebel, yomar zeke Nimrod. Right, so Rashi's paskening, says the Ben Ishchai, says Ben Yoyada, like the Shita that Amrafa was his real name. Because he's saying, Kinimrod, that's an insult. So that's Rashi. But what does the uncle say on the pasuk? Alkein Yisamar Kinimrod Gibar Takif Kadam Hashem. People will say he's like Nimrod, he's a Gibar. So he says, what do you mean? Nimrod is a Gibar? He must be that no, he's only the other Shita. That Nimrod was his real name. And Amraphel is what he called him. So that's the goof of the machlokas, but that's an afkamina with the machlokas between Rashi and Unkelis on that pasuk. That's a Ben Ishchai. That's a Ben Yoyada. Okay, we continue. Machlokas number four. Okay, we'll have another Ben Yoyada right here in a minute. Vayaka melech chadash al Mitzrayim. We all know the Chazal. A new king came to lead Mitzrayim. Rav Shmuel, again, fourth machlokas between language. Chad amar chadash mamish v'chad amar shenzchashuk zeirosav. One opinion says that he was mamish chadash, he was a new king, and the other opinion says that, no, his gzeiros were new. Same king, but new decrees, new attitude towards the Jews. Mand amar chadash mamish tichziv chadash. According to the one who says it's chadash mamish, why? Because that's what it says in the Torah. It says chadash. Mand amar shenzchashuk zeirosav. And according to the one who says that, no, his gzeiros were just renewed, why do you learn it like that? We did loksiv ayamas vayimlo. Because it doesn't say anybody died. It doesn't say the king died and the king became new. So that's why they darshan that it wasn't a real new king. Well, the one that was just chashuk zeirosa, but according to the one who says that just his zeirus became new, haksivash alo yadas Yosef. What do you mean is chashuk zeirosa? It says, what does it mean, asher lo yadas, that he didn't know Yosef? That it was a new king. So my asher lo yadas Yosef, to have a dummy command lo yada le Yosef klal. He made it as if Rashi quotes this, that he didn't recognize Yosef at all, meaning he didn't recognize and have any hakaras atov for what Yosef did to the Egyptian people. Yeah?
Is it possible that you thought it was the same para who met Yosef in the beginning and who was worked on for...
Right. Is it the same paro? Did the same paro live for 210 years?
That's what I'm saying. If you never mentioned that one king died. Then
right. I mean, that's that shita. The other shita says Vayakam El Chadash, and it's the same king. But again, this is at the beginning of the sheet. But I don't know if it was the same paro all the way at the end. Although I don't know if there's another chazal somewhere that at the end, the end of when the Bnei Yisrael went out, was it the same paro? Was right.
But it had to be a different paro. But it never says that one paro died.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to talk about that right now. Yeah. At the end of Shmos, to say the power, but that was at the end, but you don't know if that was the same paro as the beginning. So the Ben Yehoyada again asks, according to the Manda Amar, Chadash, according to that, there was a real new king. So what's the Chiddush of the Torah? And what's the Chiddush of that Pshat? We always say there's no problem, according to the Machi, the Chadash Mamish. So what's the Chiddush of that Shita? It says Chadash in the Torah. You have to Darshan, Chadash Mamish. It says Chadash in the Torah. You don't have to Darshan, Chadash Mamish. If you tell me something new, it's Chadash Zerosa. So what's Pshat? So he says that if what type of dynasty were we talking about in Egypt? He says that if we were talking about a son inheriting the throne from his father, that wouldn't be called Chadash. Because that would be, that's something that, you know, it's in Yerusha. You're taking the place of your father. So he says the chiddush of that shita is that it wasn't like that. And what was it? The hakavana desvir le demikodem lo hayil Mitzrayim melech gomur kishar malachim. At the beginning stages of Mitzrayim, at this stage before the Shibut started, it wasn't like there was a monarchy. And listen to the Ben Yoyada, who lived at the end of the 1800s, he died in 1909. Ela haya republic, kamoshi esh ata b'malchus Amerikai, o b'malchus France, v'harosh ala republic, haya nikra paro. We have a president, he said there was a paro. And that's why it says, what's Melech Chadash? It was a new king because they elected him. It was a democracy. They elected him and there was a new king, new paro. That's the chiddush of Chadash. Because he was new because he didn't yarshin it from his father. But v'achagach kodem sheshibdu Yisrael, shinu tachzis shalahem, uminu aleyam melech, v'luzos amar Chadash mamish. He says, but then they appointed that, then it became a monarchy, it became a despot government, and then they changed their ways. So really, that's the machlokas here about Chadash Mamish or Shizchashik Zeirosav. And then again, he adds, L'may Nafkamina. Give me a Nafkamina for Chadash Mamish or Shizchashik Zeirosav. He quotes a Nafkamina. We say in Parsha Shoftim, right, it says that the Kohen Gadol talks to all the people, whoever built a new house, whoever married a new woman, whoever said Bana Bayis Chadash. So what does Chadash mean? What happens if you just totally redid your house and your house doesn't even look like it used to look? So he says that's Pshat. According to the Mandar, Chadash means Chadash Mamish. You have to have a Mamish, a new house. According to the one, he says it's Chachu Zerosav. So it's Chachu. You redid the whole thing. So he says that's Lamai Nafkamina. He says, and this helps answer a Peladika Rambam. Says which Rambam? The Gemara in Sota says, quotes Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda says, let's say you build a new house by Sasro v'Chazro Banu. You broke it down and you were Chozer and you built it again. So Eino Ubanao, Eino Chozer, the Chamish Mamish Meinon. Says Rabbi Yehuda in Gemara Sota in the 8th Perek that you're not Chozer because you need Chadash Mamish. Because that's what Rabbi Yehuda says in the Gemara in Sota, that if you just rebuild your house, you don't go back. And the Rambam does not pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, and there is no other Shita in the Gemara there. The Rambam says that even if you totally redo your house, you rebuild it, that it's, right, Rambam writes in the Pirshim Mishnah, there ain't halacha Rabbi Yehuda. And the Mishnah Malach there asks, in Ochos Malachim, the Rambam quotes this, where's the source for the Rambam? How can the Rambam go against Rabbi Yehuda? There's no other Shita out there that holds otherwise. Rabbi Yehuda says in the Gemara that if you totally redo your house, you're not Chozer Me'orchei HaMelchama, and the Rambam says you are Chozer. Says the Ben Yoyada, our Gemara is the source. Why? Because usually whenever the Gemara quotes Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, the Rav is first and Shmuel is second. That's what he assumes. And we know the halacha is Kerav b'Isurei and Kishmuel b'Dine. By Isur v'Heter, the halacha is like Rav, and by Shmuel, the halacha is Shmuel b'Dini, by Dini Mamadis. So this is like Dini Mamadis, whether you have to build a new, whether it's talking about houses or not, whether this is a new house or whether it's not considered a new house. The Rambam passes like Shmuel b'Dini. Like Shmuel b'Dini, the second Shita hears, she is Chachuk Zerosav. That's a Charifus. That's the source of the Rambam, our Gemara. Okay, that's unbelievable, Ben Yehoyada. Okay, we continue now. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, third line. Yudchas Yom Gedalti Esau Reboshia Berevi. 18 days I learned by Reboshia, the great. I learned one thing from him in our Mishnah. Ketzin Ma'abrin Esarim Ba'alef. I learned that Ketzin Ma'abrin, the correct gerses with an Aleph. Eini, is this really true? That's all he learned? One thing. The Amr of Yochanan, you based Talmidim, how you love the Reboshia. There were 12 Talmidim that Reboshia had, Reboshia Beribi. He had 12 Talmidim. But Yudchas Yam Gidalti Benayim. And Rabbi Yochanan says he was there for 18 days. V'lamati Lev Kol Echad V'Echad V'Chachvas Kol Echad V'Echad. And I learned about the hearts and the minds of every Talmud there. Rashi explains, you learned about the Midos, you learned about the abilities and the skills of each Talmud. Right, they put, so in Bali Musar point out first the lave and then the chachma. For Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. First he learned about who they were, and then he learned about their chachma. So you see, he learned a lot in those 18 days. He learned about every single Talmud. So the Gemara gives three answers. Lave kol echad ve'echad, v'chachmas kol echad ve'echad, gamar. Gemara lo gamar. He learned about the Talmidim, but he didn't learn much Torah. Right, that's opinion number one. That's what it means. He only learned one thing. Gibayis Ema, minayu ditu gamar, minay dide lo gamar. He learns from the Talmidim. He learned from the Chazar Shir that the Talmidim gave, but directly from the Rebbe, he still only learned that one idea about Kesem Ma'abrin. Gibayis Ema, dover echad b'mishnah seinu gamar. No, he means one thing. What was the lashon? One thing about our Mishnah. He learned a lot about other things, but he learned one thing about our Mishnah, and that was Kesem Ma'abrin with an Aleph and not with an Ayin. Yamar Rabbi Yochanan, Kishahayinu Lom Den Torah Eitz Raboshia. When we learned Torah with Raboshia, Yinu Yoshim Arbar Baba Amma, we were so squished in, we were able to sit four people within an Amma. Amar Rabbi, Kishahayinu Lom Den Torah Eitz Raboshia, Elizabeth Shamua, Yinu Yoshim Shisha Shisha Ba Amma. When we learned Torah with Elizabeth Shamua, we used to sit six in an Amma. We were all squeezed in, and the Marsha and others point out here that this was a nace. How can you fit in so many people within a tiny amount of space, but it was a nace that there was Zochadu because of their Amelus Patorah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about how sometimes they were miskaseh with one talis because they were so tzafuf, they were so squeezed in. But that was the nace that they were all there and they weren't complaining. We mentioned before the commentary of the Baruch Sha'amar on Pirkei Avos. One of the nisim in Pirkei Avos is Omdim, right? V'lo hayinu, v'lo amar l'chaveiro tsar li hamakom sha'alin v'yushalayim. One of the nisim was, nobody said tsar li hamakom. right? That it's too squishy or it's too narrow here. Lo amar lo adam lachaveiro tzalei amakam shalom bishalayim. Says the Baruch Shamar, says the Torah Tzmimin, his commentary Perkei Avos. It doesn't say there that it wasn't tzar. Lo hayat tzar bishalayim. It says lo amar adam lachaveiro tzalei amakam shalom bishalayim. That was the nace. That nobody complained to each other that it was too squished. It was squished. But there was such achdus, there was such ava between each other. So to hear, they were all able to squish together, and they weren't complaining. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. What? Bridges? Well, right. That's Rav Nachman ben Breslov. That's the source of that statement is his. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Osha, Rabbi Bedora, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Osha Bedora, Rabbi Meir Bedora, Rabbi Osha Rabbi, and his door was like Rabbi Meir and his door. My Rabbi Meir Bedora lo yochel chaver of lamad osof daito. Just like Rabbi Meir and his generation, they couldn't figure out, they couldn't understand his shir totally. He gave such svaris like we had earlier in the Masechta. That's why we don't pass him like Rabbi Meir, because we couldn't be yorei l'sof daito. Av Rabbi Osha lo yochel chaver of lamad osof daito. All the Rabbi Osha had tremendous. The svar is that they couldn't know what the psak was at the end of the day, and therefore they were parallel in their generations. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, liban shel rishonim kepischo shel ulam. The hearts of the rishonim, that's the mashal for the wisdom of the earlier generations, was as wide as the pesach of the ulam. So I said we had these measurements on that basin area of it, all the way like a pesach of the ulam, which was Rashi explains, I think it was 20 amos wide, right? Rach bochaf. The Heichal, which is skinnier, which is a narrow word, like the Achronim, meaning the later generations, like the Pesach of the Heichal, which was 10 wide. Va'anu, and us, says Rabbi Yochanan, k'melo nekev machatzidkis. It's like the opening of the eye of a little needle. Because that's the level of Chachma has gone down, is Katnu Hadoros. Rishonim, who are the Rishonim and the Achronim? Rishonim, Rabbi Akiva, Achronim, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. Igad Amrei, Rishonim, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Achronim, Rabbi Oshia Barivi. Va'anu, k'melonekem, machazidkis, and we're very, like a little hole in the eye. Amr Abaya, Va'anan, ki sikhsa begudala gamra. Abaya says, us, when we try to learn something, it's like sticking a peg into a tiny little hole in the wall. Rashi here explains the last two skinny lines in Rashi. V'nichas b'docha, you have to squeeze it in. Kach anu yicholon anu lahavin, ein anu yicholon lahavin, mashanu shomen ki ma'at b'koshi. We try to understand the svaris. It's so difficult for us. It's like trying to stick this peg into the little hole. You know, we got to struggle. Baruch Hashem, we have to struggle. We have to have the amelus. But that's the mashal that is given. Amar Rava va'anan ki etzba'asa b'kiru l'svara. A different mashal. It's like sticking a finger into wax. Right, what's that mashal? We'll get to it in a minute. Let's just do the next line. Amar Rav Ashi, anan ki etzba asa bebira l'shechecha. Us, it's like when we stick a finger into, regarding forgetting, it's like sticking a finger into a pit, which is very easy. So just like that, so too, we forget everything. Interesting tosis. Tosis in the bottom, the second to last tosis first. Ki etzba bebira l'shechecha, quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, what happens when you stick your finger into wax? So let's assume like, what kind of wax we could talk about? Some kind of gel. You stick your finger and you take it out, the gel just goes over and you don't see any hole anymore, right? It just covers up where your finger was. It says Tosas, last three lines of Tosas key, kach anu kshanu mesaymin ha-mesechta u-maschilin ha-acheres miyad shochegin ha-rishona. When we start learning one mesechta, you know, immediately we forget the previous mesechta. That's what we mentioned, that's Hadron Alach. We spoke a number of that. Hadron Alach means we daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we shouldn't forget it. We will return to you, but now we're putting it in a different compartment in our brain. That's Hadron Alach, whatever mesechta. But that's what Tosva says. Interesting discussion I saw. There's a shita of the Shulchan Aruch Harav in Hilchas Talmud Torah. Hilchas Talmud Torah and Shulchan Aruch Harav is a... Even if those who don't learn the regular Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Shulchan Aruch of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Hilchos Talmud Torah is a masterpiece. So that has, it's his own, it's printed separately, Hilchos Talmud Torah. So there he has a line where he says that you're not allowed to learn anything new until you hazard and know for sure and haven't forgotten what you've already learned. So he has a line like that. Chayiv amead v'tchilas limudo lachzor al kol mashalamad v'rak achachach yilmad od. V'alkein sarech lasos kol eisha yachzor al mashalamad v'rak achachach yilmad od. So what's Tosas talking about? Tosas says that no, we forget every mesechta when we go on to the next one. So according to Tosas, this doesn't get off the ground. So maybe I saw that in the Biure Hadaf in the footnotes here, he quotes maybe it means Yishlitchok. It doesn't mean that we totally forget it. Tosas says no, we remember a little bit of it. It's been Dalan Kafschus that we haven't forgotten everything from Mesechas Brachas and Shabbos. But that's one. But number two, he says no, maybe Mistaver Nire. He says he thinks the following. He says what's the Shulchan Aruch talking about? You have to learn Kala Torah Kula. He also said that in another line of Shulchan Aruch Harav. Every Jew has a chiyuv to learn Kala Torah Kula. Rav Shachter likes to say, Kala Torah Kula, that's what's called, it's not so large. You have just Shas and Tanakh and Mishnayos and Shas and Medrash and Shulchan Aruch and Tur. Okay, you don't have to learn every single achron of every. But Shachal Tur Kula, it's finite. So anyway, so says in the footnotes here, maybe the shot of the Shulchan Aruch is that when is it that you're not allowed to learn new? When you've done everything once, so you get the whole overview of the whole Torah. So now you can really appreciate every little thing you learned. If you're just learning the first Pesach, you're learning little brachas. You can't really get feel brachas in you. It doesn't connect you unless you have to learn everything, and then the next time, it's like the second time you do the daf. Right? It's like, you've seen everything, so now that's what the Shulchan Aruch Rav is talking about. That you can't go on unless you really remember it, because you've done everything already. Tosfos is done the first time. The first time, you gotta get through everything, and that's the shot of the Shulchan Aruch Rav, how he fits with the Tosfos. Oh, the Rambam, right. The Rambam says, just learn my Sefer, right? That's why he was taken to task by the Ravid and others in his Akdama, that is a very dangerous approach. But again, the question is what exactly the Rambam means. There's been a lot written about that Rambam. Exactly what does he mean? That Bolu B'mikro, Talmud Bavli, and this takes the place. Yeah.
He said that, and there are more Pirushim on him than anybody else.
Right, there are more Pirushim on him than, correct. Right. Okay, there's also an important Brisker Rav, the Grizz, in Parshas Veschana, where he talks about the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where it says, some scary Mishnah, Kol HaShokheach Davar Echad Mi Mishnaso HaReizem Mischayev B'Nafsho. If you forget something, Yechayev Misa. Right, so how are we to interpret that? So, usually the interpretation is that if you forget on purpose, meaning if you learn something and you just stop learning. So then, that's what Shochet Davar Echad Mi Mishnaso. But obviously, if you're Shichacha is part of the Bria, or if Shimon Shkap writes in the Hakdamah to Shara Yosher that it's part of the Bria, the second Luchos were in Maisa Elokim, it was Maisa Adam, and Maisa Adam, we forget things, and we have to have a Melos, we have to try to get it back. But what does it mean, Kol HaShochet Harizim Mishchai B'Nafsho? So he quotes Rav Chaim Volozhin, who says maybe this Mishnah is only referring to the time when it was Torah Shabbat Peh. Before it was written down by Yehuda Nasib, in that Zman, if you forgot something, it was lost. It was lost in the whole Masorah. That was passed down from Rebbe to Talmud. So if you didn't remember anything, that was a loss in the chain. So that's why I raised Mischai B'Nafsho. Bizman Azeh, when there are Svarim or there are Chidushim, so maybe that halacha doesn't apply. Shechra, you're not supposed to forget. But again, it's not Mischai B'Nafsho because it's only you. You forgot something, but it's not a loss in the chain of the Masorah. Okay, but there's a lot written about Shechra, but this is an important Tosfos. So we take a little, even the Bizman Tosfos, they forgot things. So we take a little comfort in that. It's not an excuse, but it's an understanding. Amra, a little solace, correct. Amra of Yehuda, Vaidar in the Gemara, Amra of Yehuda Marath. B'nei Yehuda Sheik Pidu Alashonam. So we're going to talk about the B'nei Yehuda compared to the B'nei Galil. The B'nei Yehuda who were makpid on their Lashon, Niskaima Tarasin Biyadam. Their Torah stayed with them. B'nei Galil Shlohik Pidu Alashonam, Niskaima Tarasin Biyadam. B'nei Galil who were not makpid on their Lashon, exacting, so their Torah didn't stay. So the Gemara asked, we did, but Kabeda Talia Milsa. What is your Torah lasting with you have to do with how makpid you are in your language? So the Gemara modifies it a little bit. El Bnei Yehuda the daiki belishne. Bnei Yehuda who are very medayik in their language, umisnachi luhusimana, and they remember things in certain ways, and they have mnemonics how to remember it, and they put simanim in certain areas of their brain, so they remember things in certain ways. So then, it's kind of a miyadin, right? We all have our mnemonics how to remember like certain simanim and certain psukim and certain dafim, ways to remember. Right? We had a couple weeks ago. We had Shev Shmaitza. Where does it say the word Shev Shmaitza? Sevens, Erevin Mem Gimel, seven, Mem 4 and 3 is seven. So you have these little mnemonics. So that's how you remember things. Miskayim atoros and biyodim. Bnei Galil de lo daiki belishna. Bnei Galil who weren't as medayik lo misnichu lusimana. They didn't put simanim into their memory. Lo niskayim atoros and biyodim. So the Torah didn't last for them. That's one difference between the two. Next, Bnei Yehuda gamru michad rab and niskayim atoros and biyodim. Bnei Yehuda who learned from one Rebbe. Their Torah was Mekuyam. Bnei Galil de lo gamri michad rabba. Bnei Galil who learned from a lot of Rebbeim. Lo niskayim atoros and biyodim. Their Torah wasn't Mekuyam. So the Pashas you could say means is they floated. When this Rebbe and that Rebbe, and I was in one yeshiva and six shiurim and this. The Torah is not going to last unless you have that catcher to the Rebbe. Unless you're there, so then that's what you need. You need a catcher to the Rebbe. Tosfos here points out from other Gemaras, maybe there are differences between Lamdis and Svara and Bekiyas. You got to put a few Gemaras together. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yutes, talks about this a little bit. Tosfos says that some Gemaras say you should have one Rebbe, you should have a lot of Rebbeim. But either way, from this Gemara, it says one Rebbe. But again, different different aspects of our Torah learning, one Rebbe versus other Rebbe. It's always good to be open to hear all different approaches. To hear Rebbe for all different yeshivas is always, it's wonderful to hear different drachim. But in terms of your own learning, in terms of your connection to the to learning of Lach HaMar, you need a Rebbe, you need a Derech. You can't have six different drachim. Yeah. Right. So again, it's they got to put there a few gemaras together that that some emphasize one, some emphasize others. Ravina Amar, a third difference between the Bnei Yehuda and Bnei Galil. Bnei Yehuda the Gilu Mesechta, Bnei Yehuda who were Megale Mesechta, revealed the Mesechta. We'll see what that means in a second. Niskayim Atarasim Biyadan. Bnei Galil Lo Gilu Mesechta, Lo Niskayim Atarasim Biyadan. So Gilu Mesechta. What does that mean? Rashi Yekot Tupshatim. Fifth wide line in Rashi. The Gilu Mesechta. Number one, Limdu Lacherim. Rav Asher Weiss quoted this Gemara last night. He says that Limdu Lacherim, those who teach others Torah, so then that's when it's Niskayim Biyadam. That's when it's Mekuyim in your hands. If you teach, that's when it's going to be Mekuyim in you. That's Gilu. They were Megala Mesechta. They revealed the Mesechta to others. So that's a skula for Torah lasting in you. Number one. Number two, Lishna Achrina Rashi says, Mefarshin Shmuoseinu Medachtkin Betaimu Shodavar Asher Mesiashi Belibam. Those, they thought about the svaras, they were megala to themselves, the svaras. They don't just say, okay, this is what the Gemara says. What's the svara behind it? What's the mahus? What's behind this Gemara? You gotta go deeper. You can't just learn the Gemara, the Bakiyas. You gotta struggle with it. So you have to have time to think about the issues. Those are the two Pshatim and Rashi. It's an important Me'iri here. The Me'iri, this is a makar for all the yeshivas. What's the makar for all the yeshivas? Says the Me'iri. He quotes first Rashi, Yehei chacham mishtadal hashpia chachmasu lezulaso, shebazeh limudo miskayim umatzliach. You have to try to teach. V'yesh b'farshim, t'galo mesechta, k'shahayu darshim barabim, whenever they gave a shir, listen to this, k'shahayu darshim barabim, modiyin mikodem be'eze inyin u'be'eze mesechta hein darshim. They announced before into the Talmidim what the shir was going to be on. They gave out makoros! Kadesh Yergishu Hashomim, so that the people could know about it. They can be prepared. They can look and prepare and look at the sources, and then come in and know what to talk about. Because if the Talmidim are on your page, on your wavelength, then you can talk about it. And even though they're going to be more prepared, the Rav is fine with this. This Meiri, on this Gemara, is the Makar. Is the makar for giving out makoros before a shir. You have a seder, you have 3-hour seder, and then you have a shir. It's a makar for the Rebbe giving out makoros, because that's the whole point of the shir. The Talmidim will be prepared for the shir. They'll be like, say, oh, what do I need makoros for? I'll just come to the shir. What do I need? No, you prepare for the shir, you'll be more into it. It'll be mean more to you, and it'll be more bringing the davar la'amita, right? Because the more people are prepared, and the Rebbe wants that. It's the Gemara Tainis says, right? Talmidim yoser mikulam. You learn from the Talmidim. So that's exactly what is meant here for Gilu Masechta. Two pshatim in Rashi, and one pshat in the Meiri. Okay, continues the Gemara. David Gilu Masechta. Shaul Gali Masechta. David fulfilled this. And Shaul did not. David, the Gali Masechta, where's the reference that David HaMelech was Gali Masechta, Ksibbe, Yurei Echa, Yer Udi, V'Yismachu. Your one Yir Re'echa, those who fear you, Yir Uni, V'yismachu, and they'll be happy. That's referring by David HaMelech, and Tehillim, right? David wrote Tehillim. Shaul, the Logali Masechta, he didn't do this, Ksibbe, what did it say about him? The Cholash Yifna Yarshia. Wherever he turns, he will cause crookedness. Rashi writes, Lo hayezocha lahoros kalacha. Right? He wasn't zocha like David HaMelech to have clarity in his psak. Period. Question, what exactly this has to do with anything beforehand? But a separate chazal about Shaul. How do you know that Hashem forgave Shaul about that sin? Which sin? So Rashi quotes, Avon de Nov ir hakohanim. Shaul HaMelech killed out the city of Nov because he thought they were conspiring with hiding David HaMelech. Therefore, he killed out the entire city. Tremendous hate. That's why later on in history, his children were hanged. But also Avon, so he was forgiven for that. The Sfasemes says maybe it's not talking about that because what does that do with anything? Then that was so he thinks it's more of the Baalas Ov, which we're going to get to in a minute. When after Shmuel died, Shaul went to try to bring Shmuel back up from the dead. He went to the witch. And that was also a chay. That's a los maoninu machashev. So maybe it's referring to that because that was amazing. At least Nov was a little chas b'shogeg. So this that was a balas ov was b'mezid. So that's what he really really required a kapara for that sin. But by Nov, it was more, he thought they were more b'malchus. Shenemar, but where does it, where do you know that Shaul was forgiven? Machar ata uvanecha imi. Tomorrow, you and your children will be with me. This is the language that Shmuel told him when he was brought up from the dead. Imi b'mechitzasi. You will be with me. What is imi b'mechitzasi? In my mechitza. So that's a reference that Shaul HaMelech was forgiven for whatever sin was being referred to. Period. Amar Biyaba, back to what we started with on the daf. If anybody would ask the Bnei Yehuda, who we just said that are so medayik in their language, ma'abrin tsanan or ma'abrin tsanan, will they tell me that ma'abrin is with an aleph or with an ayin? Akozo tsanan or akozo tsanan? Or is it akozo or akozo? Yadi, they would know. That's how the beginning of the statement. If you would ask them which one, Yadi, they would know. What's a kozotan or a kozotanan? So Rashi explains this is regarding in Maseches Bechor, it lists all the mumin of animals. It also lists the mumin of the Kohanim regarding service in the Beis HaMikdash. But it lists all the mumin of the behema. So there is one type of mum, says the Mishnah there. Rashi quotes it on the fourth line, She'ein lo ela beitza achas. If an animal only has one of his beitzim, so the question is that a mum or not? Let's say he has the Gemara talks about if he has a sack for both, but there's only one that's nikar. So Gemara talks about you have to put him up, according to one sheet, you put him on a barrel and you try to figure out whether all is as it's supposed to be, or there's something wrong and it has a mum. You have to figure out. You have to know if you could be makrivet on the mizbeach. So says the Gemara, the akuzo or akuzo is on the barrel with an aleph or with an ayin. So that's also the question. So Yadi, if we would ask Bnei Yehuda, they would know. So Shalinu, they asked the Bnei Yehuda, what's the proper wording? Some say this, some say that. So even they who were medayik, they said different shitos. Period. Bnei Yehuda, the Bnei Yehuda who were medayik in their lashon. What's an example of this lamaisa? Tell me a story where this comes up. Dahahu bar Yehuda da Amar Lahu. This bar Yehuda. Again, Yehuda and Golan were two different places in Eretz Yisrael. That's the areas. So there was a person from Yehuda, the Amar Lahu, that went around saying, Talos Yeshu Limkar, I have a talos to sell. Who wants to buy a talos? Amrule, my gava talischa. What's the color? What color is your talos? Amar Lahu, he said to them, Kitardin Ali Adama, like beets on the ground. So he was so specific in his how he described his coloring. That's how you see their medaik in the Lashon. So that's the Bnei Yehuda. Bnei Galil, Daiki, Belishnei Mahi. What's a story that illustrates that Bnei Galil were not Medayik? Dahu Bar Galila, Dahavi Ka'azil. There was somebody from the Galil that was walking. Amar Lahu, Amar Laman, Amar Laman. That's what he said. Amar Laman, who wants an Amar? Amrulei, Galila Shota. They said to him, what are you, silly? What are you doing? We don't understand what you're talking about. There were four things that you might be, Amar, Amar, Amar. What does that mean? Chamar lemirkavo, chamar lemishte. Do you really mean a chamar? We can't understand you. Chamar meaning a donkey to ride on? Oh, chamar lemishte. Chamar is wine to drink. Or, amar lemilbasho, imar liskasa. Do you need imar, which is, amar is wool to wear? Oh, imar liskasa. Or imra means a sheep to shecht. So you're saying, amar lemi, amar leman. We have no idea what you're talking about. So again, this is another story that illustrates that the Bnei Galil weren't exactly medayik in their language. Again, the power of formulation. You find Chazals, that's a reflection of Chachma. If you're very medayik in how you formulate, whenever you read a sefer, it's a lot of it, you know an idea, but until you can formulate it, once you can formulate it, then you know you got it. So again, these Bnei Yehuda were very medayik in their formulations. Hahi itza de boy lebeim lechaverta toy de ochle chalba. There was a woman that wanted to tell her friend, "Come, I'll give you some fats to eat. Toy, come to ochle chalba. I'll feed you chalav." Amrala, but she didn't speak carefully, and she said, "Shluchti." Mefarshim say this. That's a meaningless word. Shluchti tochle chlabia. I hope that a lion eats you. Right, tochlech, you should be eating levia like kalavi shachin, right, like by a lion, right? So like that sounds like it wasn't speaking clearly, but that's what it sounded like. We're gonna have a couple of stories like that. Hey, so the asila kami the dina. There was a woman that came in front of a judge. Amrale, she said to him as follows, and Rashi here explains what she meant to say. Mari kiri. Rashi here says that he meant to say kairi, which is like captain, adon, and master. But he said mari kiri, which is an eved, a servant. Tifla havisli. What's tifla? She meant to say that she had a writing tablet, tavla isle, but she said tifla havisli, which means a board. Tifla havisli. Veganvuch min. And it was stolen from me, she meant to say, but instead she said veganvuch min. You stole it. You judge stole it. Veganvuch min. Vekadu havis. Vekad shadru lachi lavei lo mati karecha ara. And she meant to describe how long it was, but instead of giving a normal measurement, she said, if you would hang on it, your feet wouldn't reach the ground. to the judge. If you wouldn't be hanged on it, your feet wouldn't reach the ground. So that's not the best thing to say to a judge, but that's how it came out when she was talking without being specific enough. Hasa de Bei Rebbe. Okay, so those were all mistakes. So now we're going to get to specifics where it was on purpose. Hasa de Bei Rebbe, the maidservant in Rebbe's house. Sometimes Kiavi Mishtray Balashon Chachma. She wanted to tell the Talmidim it was time to go home. You know, the Rebbe wants to go to sleep, but well, there was no food left. But she didn't want to tell Bafarish. It's not right. So she used to speak Balashon Chachma. So when she used to talk in a riddle fashion, Amr, she said this. Amr Haki, she said this. Elis Nachbas Bakad. The ladle was knocking on the pot, meaning there's nothing left in the pot. Yidun Nishray Lekinehon. So the birds should fly back to their nests, meaning so the ladle is knocking on the pot, and therefore it's time to go home. The Karavi boil the Lisvun, when she wanted them to stay, Havi Amrlu, she said this, Yade Basar Chaverta Mina. The friend, meaning the pot, next to it is going to take over for its friend, meaning one pot's finished, but the other pot is empty. Vitiskafi Elas Bakad, and the ladle's gonna float in the pot, Kiofa to Azlabiyama, like a boat floating on water, meaning stay. You know, we're opening up another pot. And don't worry, you could stay. Rav Yossi Bar Asian ki havi mishtoy b'lashon chachma. When Rav Yossi Bar Asian wanted to talk b'lashon chachma, Rashi here says b'lashon chachma. He didn't want anybody else to understand. So my Shah points out we just said b'lashon chachma 4 lines ago. So why didn't Rashi say that earlier? The point was because earlier the maidservant wanted them to understand. She was just speaking in riddle fashion because it wasn't covetic to throw him out. Here he dafka doesn't want people to understand except the one person who he's talking to. So kevim mishtoy b'lashon chachma. He used to speak in riddles as follows: Amar asuli, make for me shor mishpat. An ox in judgment, Batur Miskain, in a poor mountain. What does that mean? Rashi explains. Shur is from the words, the shin and the tuf, switch. Tur, like tur, b'mishpat, that means switch, mishpat is also din. So tur din, tar din, is beats. Tur Miskain, what's tur Miskain? So tur Miskain, Rashi explains, could be, tur is, Miskain is a dal, har, tur is har. Har sounds like char, and Miskain is like a dal. A dal is a poor person. Char dal, mustard. I want beets and mustard. That's all that he went to say by saying this phrase. The Karhavi Shoa Ushpiza, whenever he wanted to see how his host was doing, Amar Haki said the follows. Gvar Pum Dein Chai. Rashi explains how that's really a putting together of all these words. Gvar Pum, this guy, Dein Chai, this guy who's alive, Mazu Tova Yesh. How's he doing? Rashi explains exactly how the words fit together. Rabbi Yavo, Kiavi Mishtoi, Balashon Chachmo, and Rabbi Yavo used to talk in riddle fashion. Havi Amar Haki said this. Asrigula Bechamin. Make the coals like an esrog, asrigula b'chamin, meaning Rashi explains, make them a little red. And some posts can point out from this Gemara, that's why if you have a red little spot on an esrog, it's not possible, because red little spots are not a problem on an esrog. Our esrog cell here, based on this Gemara, asrigula b'chamin, make the coal. The Rashi says, asrigu admimus adumin. So it sounds like it's not a problem for it to be an esrog. It's a little red. Our kiul is a oven. Spread out the coals like gold. Va'asuli shnei magide ba'alata, and make for me two magidim, two indicators that tell me that work for me ba'alata in the darkness. That means in the coals, make for me two things that stick out. Rashi explains Tarnagolin, right? Why are they called indicators? Because the roosters are the ones that wake you up in the morning when it's still dark, right? I know seen Lasech Bina. That's why make for me those two things in the coals. Igadam Rav Yasuli Bahesh Demagidia Ba'alata. Make for another way to say it, that make for me two roosters in the coals. Amalei Rabbanu Rabbi Avahu. Okay, no more Derech Chachma. Okay, we got it quickly, yeah. Well, it's always, whenever you hear something in the Gemara, it's always, this is saying Beferish, that sometimes they spoke in riddles. Right, the same, and we know exactly what they meant, but you're right, for sure. I mean, so many times in the Gemara, when you have a statement, it's not meant to be taken literally. That's for sure. Here it says Beferish, that it's not meant, they didn't mean it to be taken literally, talking to each other. Where's Rabbi Eloi hiding? We haven't seen him all day. So Amr Lahan, Olatz Bina'ara Aharonis Achoranis Iranis Vihin Irto. So, what's that talking about? So, Amrila Ishav Amrila Mesechla. Some say, they answered him, he was talking about a woman. Olat Benara, he was happy with a woman, meaning he just got remarried, Aharonis, somebody who she was a Bas Kohen from Aharon. Achoranis, his latest wife, meaning his previous wife had died, he took a new woman. Iranis, and she was an exciting woman. Vinarto, she kept him up all night. So that's why he's taking a rest now. He's taking a nap now. That's where he is. That's what some, so some say the story was about, the answer was about Isha. But some say it was about a Masechta. Meaning, she was so happy with his Masechta, Aharonis. He was learning about Kachim. Aharonis, Aharonis. It's his latest Masechta. He just finished the previous one. And it was so exciting and it kept him up all night. And now he's taking a rest. So either way, he's either talking about an Isha or about a Masechta. Two things that could keep you up all night. Amri lei l'Rabbi Lai hatzpineinu heichen Rabbi Avot safun. So the Gemara says just the opposite. One time they went to Rabbi Lai and gave back the favor. Where's Rabbi Avot hiding? Right, the beforehand it was the opposite. Amri lehen nisya'itz b'machtir v'hin give them a piboshes. He got advice from the machtir. Rashi explains the machtir was the nasi who used to give smicha. So he's the machtir, literally the one who gives crowns. Right, machtir from Hifel, he causes to be crowned. So the machtir having smicha is a like a keser on you. So he went to the machtir and he went to the south. The hingiv, the word negev, he went to the chachamim in the south. Mipiboshes was a chacham. We saw in Maseches Brachos. That's why he called them Mipiboshes. That's where he went. He went to the south. Rabbi Shua Bechanani says, nobody ever outsmarted me with words except three times. An Isha, a Tinok, and a Tinokas. A woman, a little boy, and a little girl. Isha Maihi, what was the story of the woman? One time I was in an inn. Ustali Poland, she made me beans. The first day I ate the whole bean plate. The second day she gave me more beans, I ate the whole plate. The third day she gave them to me and she put so much salt on them, it was inedible. She burned them with salt. Once I tasted them, I'm like, oh! So I stopped eating. Mehen. What's the matter? Amarti lok. No, I've had enough. It's okay. I ate this morning. I had a big breakfast. So, Amrali, you shouldn't have eaten in the morning. Shouldn't have eaten so much pas in the morning. You would be able to eat. And Amrali, Rebbe, and she continued and said, Rebbe, Shemalu inach the peabri shonim. Maybe you didn't leave over the first few times. Maybe she said Shema. The Marsha says Lashon Kavod. You don't want to say Vadai. Maybe you didn't leave anything over the first times. Haven't Chazal said a Misharin Peah Beilpis? You don't leave anything in the pot because you serve everything. Of a Misharin Peah Bekari, you're supposed to leave over a little on your plate. Rashi explains so the Shamish has something to eat after he cleans up. They weren't worried about germs too much. So they're not supposed to eat everything. So they leave something over. So after the shamish goes in and cleans up, right? This is against the other Gemara that says that you have to serve the shamish first. It's another Gemara that the post can point out. But the Tosas talks about that. It's the third Tosas. But you're supposed to serve your brother first or last. But either way, there's some leftovers. You're not supposed to finish everything. So she was saying this in a covetic way to get the message across. So he was outgunned by this woman. Tinokos Mahi, what's the story with the girl? One time I was walking on the way and I see there was a path through somebody's field. When I walked through it, Amrli Tinokas Achas Rebbe Lo Sada Hizu, isn't this a private field? You're walking through the field. Amarti Lo Der Kavusha, yeah, but it's trodden on. You see everybody's been walked here. Amrli Listim Kamoscha Kavshua. Yeah, that it's trodden on, but it's because people like you that you think that it was trodden on and you could walk there. Some say what? So he was Meshabeach this woman. She insulted him. No, so the answer is no, based on the Gemara we had a couple weeks ago, that Talmidei HaChachamim totally get lost when they're learning. So that's what listen, like people like you, that you have no idea what you're doing, you're in the middle of your learning. So it was really a Shevach, but really she was saying, but you're still wrong. You're still wrong, because you're not allowed to walk on other people's fields without permission. Tinok Maihi, what was the story with the little child? One time I was walking on the way, and I saw a child on the road. What way should we go to the city? What way should I go to the city? There were two roads, right? Two roads, right? There's a book, right? The two paths in front of you. What's the way? How does it go? Right, the road not taken, right? So the two paths in front of you. So Amar Li, I said, which one should I take to the city? He says, this one is a short one and long one, and this one is a long one and a short one. Great answer. Right, but halachti b'ksar v'aruch, and I went on the short and long one. Kiva shigati le'ir masas yishma kifin osa gano tzvay pardesin. Once I got there, I realized that I couldn't get to the city because there were gardens and pardesin there and orchards there. Chazati l'achorish, I had to go all the way back. Amarti lo b'ni, alo amarti li ketsara. My son, you told me this was a short one. Amarli lo amarti l'charuka. I said it was a long one. Katsara v'arucha. So, I kissed him on the head. I said, praise are you. Right? All of you are great. What is going on here in this last story? Sunday, I'm going 1 minute overtime. What is going on here with this story? That Arucha Kitsara, so there's an Ololos Ephraim. Klayakar, and he has a saber Ololos Ephraim where he has hundreds of drushes. So in Reish Chaf Tes, He says, what's arucha, kitzara, kitzara, arucha? He says, these are two drachen that we have in life. Kitzara, arucha means, kitzara, that's the derech because of the rishayin, that we think we're close to Hashem, we take the derech kitzara, that we're involved in everything in the world, and we think we're very close to Hashem, kitzara, and at the end, we're going to realize that we're arucha, that we're focused on the gashmias, so then it's going to be arucha, we're very, really very far from Hashem. The other way is the derech of the tzaddikim, the arucha, it starts off arucha, it starts off, we feel like we're so far, and we're so distant, that we have Yisurin, we feel we're so far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it ends up being Katsara. It ends up being very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he asks this Yelad, he says, what's the derech to the ear? What's the derech to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, which one? So first he says he takes the derech Katsara of Arucha, because he thinks that's Katsara. But he sees, he goes there and he sees there's a lot of machitzas. He goes down the road, you think you're going down the right road. Kitzara, but it ends up being Arucha. So he comes back and he says, he came to the Ganos for Pardesim. He sees the Ganos, hey, mushroom before the whole Tanuge Ha'olam, and him son for Pardesim. He sees there's a big machitza. So he comes back and he says he has to go all the way back. So it's Kitzara, it ends up being Arucha. But really, the MS is sometimes we have to have Arucha the Kitzara. We have to take the long path. It's hard, it's difficult, you have to get up every day. Arucha, but it's going to end up being Kitzara, it's going to end up being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Arucha Shehi Kitzara. And that's the pshat, that's why he kissed him on the head, Dafka, in this story, and says, Ashreichem Yisroel, because of your tremendous chachma, really the path that we want to take, says the Olos Ephraim in Reish Chavtas, is the Arucha Kitzara path, and not the Kitzara Arucha path. Okay, we'll stop here. And tomorrow is another daf. It's Agadata, it's Chash Barosha, Yaslik Batorah, and the Luchos. Some great stuff coming up. Okay, Ben Hashem, tomorrow.